Okay, here we are. Take your Bibles. We talked in Sunday school this morning about Jesus saying, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And we talked about earthly riches and things. And he mentioned that where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. So we know that earthly things, our possessions, can be stolen any day. LD goes, amen. It can happen any time. And the Lord tells the people during those days, you know, to go for the stuff that can't be stolen. And we've been through the sermon just because I want everybody to get this verse. Kind of a carryover for Sunday school. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Then we'll get started on the main sermon here. We looked at where our heart should be and this kind of stuff. And during my studies this week, I come across this one verse that says it all for what we preach here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And so I want to share it with everybody, because you got to remember this. Our hearts, we don't want our heart into our earthly things. We know they can be stolen. They can take away. Paul does not tell us not to have them. Jesus told the people during the Gospels, don't have the stuff. It's going to cause you to trip up, and it can keep you can't follow me if you got your stuff. So he tells them to get rid of their stuff, to follow him. To follow Jesus' footsteps, you need to get rid of your possessions. Well, we got preachers that preach that today, and they say, give the possessions to them. So there's where they go with that. But Paul doesn't tell us that. Paul tells us that we have to live out in this world. We're going to have possessions. And if you can have riches, we need to have people that have riches to keep the gospel being taught and preached and all this kind of stuff. He just warns about what can happen to people. So the riches. So that's what we talked about in Sunday school. Then we looked at the fact that our heart is very deceivable, but where our treasure is where our heart will be. And we see that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, and the Lord direct your hearts unto the love of God. And I just realized that we've come to realize that the love of God is not just the fact that He died on the cross and became a person Savior. It's the fact that when He died on the cross, all the things that we've learned about what this risen Savior has done, we've come to realize the love of God. And the only place you can learn about the love of God is through Paul. It's the only place in the Bible is through Paul's books. And then it says, and into the patient waiting for Christ. Where else do you hear about Christ, the risen Savior Christ, other than through Paul? So my point was, I was excited to see this verse, because here it is again, another verse that we would not have recognized before, but once you establish yourself with Paul's teachings, you see that God wants to direct our hearts into what Paul would teach us. That's the goal of what God would have for us. I just like that. I enjoyed teaching that this morning, and I hope it rings a bell with some folks about the way of God more perfectly through Paul. But I also want to make mention the fact that Jesus said, you know, the earthly things, moth and rust can corrupt it and destroy it, can be stolen. And yet, we've come to realize that there are things that you wouldn't think could be stolen have been stolen. Church. A local church assembly doing what God has designed for that local church, the purpose to be there, what should be preached and taught and done within that local church, that's pretty much been stolen. It doesn't exist hardly anywhere anymore. And we're also starting to find out that if you try to do that within your own home, in one of the big cities, San Diego, they're trying to slap a big fee on somebody for doing that without a religious assembly permit, which costs thousands of dollars. We may not be able to have get-together in homes someday, other than your very own family. So that's been stolen. Really, if you think about it, truth has been stolen. Truth still exists, but it's been stolen from most homes and from people. King James Bible's been stolen. Years ago, that thing was stolen. Rightly dividing has been taken away from people. Doctrine, teachings on sin and sinnings. I said this morning, again, for those that missed it, when somebody thinks that we're crazy for teaching that Paul teaches that the risen Christ walked the law, He fulfilled the law so there's no longer the law for righteousness, so we took care of sin, and then somebody says, well, then you can go and do anything you want? And we say, well, no, that's not the point, but yes, technically yes, all that kind of stuff. But wait a minute. Why is that any different than you who think that you have to walk the proper walk, and when you don't, you have to confess it? So why is that any different? Why don't you just go live the way you want to live, and then you just keep confessing them? There's no difference. I'm going to go God's way with what He says, is He actually walked the walk, paid the price, and imputes that to me. If you want to think you can keep going, you're more flying in Jesus' face than we are. We've got our flesh. We've got sin in our flesh, and we choose to follow our flesh. Sure we do. But you are using God because you are using the fact that you can still do it and still confess it. That's worse. To me, that's worse. So use that in a conversation sometime. So these things have been stolen from people. The teaching of no law for a Christian. We're not under the law. That teaching's been stolen. People don't believe that. The simplicity in Christ has been stolen. You have to go to school to understand this stuff. You have to go to college. You've got to have this 50-degree pastor who knows 45 different languages. You've got to have money, because you've got to buy all these books that tell you about what this book supposedly says, even though it doesn't. So they've taken that away. They've stolen salvation. Salvation has been stolen. Jesus has been stolen, because Paul warns about another Jesus. So the real Jesus has been stolen from people in so many ways. Sound doctrine in Titus. Who wants to go to Titus to see how you should live your life? That's been stolen from people. Nobody teaches that anymore. They have such a good time with Proverbs 31, they forget that it's way past that. It's a Titus woman that you're supposed to be gaining for, and a Titus man, and a Titus aged man. And then one more thing that's been stolen, and that's good music. Good, clean, healthy for us, enjoyability, praising the Lord through the cleanliness of that music. That's been stolen from people. So, if our treasures are earthy or earthly, you want to shut that? I guess that's a good reason to shut it. That little guy, John over there. If our treasures are earthly, it's a very hard window to do. I guess not when you're a firefighter. Okay. I've almost got to jump on that thing to pull that window down. He reaches over, down goes the window. That says a lot. If our treasures are earthly, then we will be offended by a truthful sermon. And that's too bad. So this morning, we're going to talk about the kidnapping of Paul. Paul's been kidnapped. Paul's been stolen. And it's amazing to me, because how do you miss him? I mean, if you read your Bible at all, there it is. You can't skip the guy unless you skip most of your New Testament. There's places, if you're a Bible reader at all, it says to follow him. What does that mean? Follow him. And anytime anybody says anything about the risen Savior, where'd they learn it? From Paul. So why do they hate the guy that they still learn from accidentally? It's amazing to me. It could be the fact that their Bibles don't say to follow Paul, they say to what? Imitate him. I'm not into that. I'm not into going out on a boat and having it sink out there on me or anything like that. So let's see who's kidnapped this guy from us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I doubt there's going to be anything new here this morning. It might just be refreshing. It might be reminding. But who cares? Well, I care, because these people, these groups, these thieves are going to continue doing their job unless we tell somebody, you know, you're going to get robbed here pretty soon. Or you have been robbed. And we need to show you some things. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Well, first of all, we have those out there that are the deceivers. And I know you know the verse in Timothy, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. We know that verse. That comes to mind right away. Deceiving and being deceived. So we know that there's deceivers out there. But 1 Corinthians 15:33 is another deceiver. Evil communications. I mean, you do not see Paul's teachings in any of these Hallmark, Vision Forum, Family Christian movies. Paul is not in these things. The ones that I've ever been aware of anyway. Most of those movies are trying to get our girls to want to be tough and strong and homesteaders and get out there and be that Proverbs 31 lady and make everything work. And sweetie pie, you are going to destroy your marriage if that's how you grow up to be. That's what you'll do. And the guys who are just... don't even get into that. That's not even my point this morning. It's just that this whole entertainment is deceiving. So So yeah, there's deceivers that have deceived people with a Christianity that is not true, it's not real, and they've taken away Paul. They've taken away Paul. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There's another one. Who else has kidnapped Paul? He's taken Paul away from him. Now, of course, this is nobody in here from a parent or a grandparent stage. You haven't taken Paul away from your kids, I hope. Grandkids, I hope that you're not putting communications in front of their little eyes and stuff that's going to that Paul's not there and it's going to show them a false Christianity or a power that's not existing and or just some worldly junk that teaches about the future and the tribulation and things that are not scriptural. I don't think we would do that here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. Here's the second group of people. O Timothy, keep that which is committed till they trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Well, I know we know about 2 Timothy 2:16, to shun profane and vain babblings, but let's not forget 1 Timothy 6:20 either. It's the second place we're told to avoid profane and vain babblings. Is that right? Got the right verse? 1 Timothy 6:20? Oh, I did? Well, why would I do that? Yeah. Maybe I'm so much shocked that Louie's here this morning again. No, I'm just kidding. Good is, I don't know why I do stuff like that. Yes, I do. Marilyn and I were talking on the phone last night, and I told her I was typing up these things while we were talking, and she said, now you know what's going to happen. You're going to do a wrong verse, because I said, no, I'm paying close attention here. I guess I wasn't. Anyway, first, I'll start over. And the second group, we maybe can bleep this out of the video, I doubt it. The second group are the vain or profane babblers. They're not teaching the right and dividing. And so we know that. They preach gospels, they preach tribulation, they preach books out of... I know there's guys out there that go on the street and they preach out of Genesis and Exodus and Deuteronomy and things. It's like, wow, what is that? So, you know, whatever. Third group, let's look at another one and get back on track, I hope. You know, the funny thing is, though, I do have the correct verses here. So it wasn't last night. It's just a mental thing. It's just going. Acts chapter 17. Here's another one. Who is stealing Paul today? Who's kidnapped Paul? We've got the deceivers, the deceiving communication. We've got the profane and vain babblers. This one, we've got those who know nothing about God. Acts 17:23. I hope it's 23. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, so we have Christian-y people here, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. And Paul says, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. And he goes on and he talks about that there. They think that God is actually in the building. They think that he's left the building, like he's Elvis or something, you know, when somebody does something wrong. Or he's in the town. Oh, he's no longer in the town. Well, he was in the nation, but now he's no longer in the nation. So let's go down to this amphitheater and let's put on a bunch of garbage rock music and let's just wail away and worship God and he will show up for a couple hours. And that's what they think. They have no clue about God. Ignorantly worship God. The unknown God. So those folks know nothing about Paul. Of course they know nothing about Paul. They know nothing about the way of God, let alone the what? Way of God more perfectly. They don't even know the way of God in the first place. So we lose Paul over that crowd. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. We have the Almosters. They're King James people, but not quite. They think that the originals were inspired, and that's all. And I just look at the verse, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4. He just starts down there, proud, knowing nothing. I like to read these verses. I don't know how many times I've read these verses to you here in this church. But this is what God thinks of the people who change the words of that Bible. Or whether they go back to the originals, which they have to change the words to the King James Bible in order to do that. And they're proud people. They know nothing. They dote about questions and strifes of words. Well, we're accused of that. No, we were here first. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We had the Bible here first. You're the one that's made a fuss about the words, and we didn't put them in their place over the years. And it says, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, and who gets the blame? We do. No, they've caused that strife, that railings, that evil. That's what they're doing towards the King James Bible, towards Paul. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. And it says they're destitute of the truth. Now, here's what's hard.
I've just said this stuff so many times,
I guess. Here's what's hard. Some of our or your favorite authors, religious book writers, videos. This is what he says about those people. Nice people. They mean well. They want to do the Christian thing. They're dressed right. They're modest. They do the beard. They don't do the beard. They put the thing on the head. They don't do the thing. They got long hair. They got short hair. I mean, whatever it is, that if they're not teaching Paul, they are destitute of the truth. They're proud. They know nothing. Their mind is corrupt. We've got to accept that. We've got to accept that. We certainly wouldn't put a video or give our kids a book that's the life of Charles Manson. Right? But let's give them a book about another Jesus. Or something. That's what's going on. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. So we got the almosters. They almost believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Boy, they sure still hate Paul, but anyway. Then we have those that just don't believe the Bible at all. 2 Timothy 3:16, it talks about the fact that all Scripture is given by inspiration. Oh, they don't believe it. It's for man. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. No, they don't believe that. They just don't believe it. Now, some of you folks are from a generation where you did. They didn't read it, but they knew what they were not reading. They knew they were rejecting the Word of God. We don't even have that concept today. And I think part of the reason they don't want to believe that Word of God is the Word of God is because of verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Well, you don't want that if you're not a Christian. Most Christians don't even want that anymore. They redefine good works. So, they just don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. In order to talk to anybody about anything, you got to talk about the Bible somewhere in there. And they don't care. They just don't care. Well, whatever. Those are some of the people that have stolen Paul. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Who are these thieves? The thieves are the deceivers in the pulpits. It's this evil communication we have floating around in our homes. It's evil men and seducers. They're getting worse and worse. Profane and vain babblers. People that know nothing about God that say they're Christians. Almost Bible believers, non-Bible believers. Now we've got in 1 Corinthians 4:17, churches that don't even preach what Paul teaches. He says in 4:17, "For this cause have I sent you Timotheus," which means Timothy is the one that's supposed to be being preached, "who was my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Churches are supposed to be teaching Paul's ways, and they're not. So where's Paul? They've kidnapped him. They're not interested. I like the title. So I'm going to say the title a couple times. They've kidnapped Paul from people today. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Who else? There are so many thieves out there. They've taken the Word of God. Sure they have. They've taken truth. Sure they have. But the one that they really need to hear is Paul, and they've taken him away too. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, who are some of these people? Verse 13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Have you met anybody yet that says they're an apostle? They're popping up more and more. A lot of these people think they're an apostle today. So, you know, whatever. "And no marvel..." Don't get shook by it. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Whose righteousness? Man's righteousness. So they're teaching good things, but they're his ministers. Go ahead. Tell that to one of the local ministers in town. Tell that to your friends who go to a different church. Good people, different doctrines, whatever. Go ahead. Tell them that their pastor is working for the devil. Go ahead. That's what it says. Is it no wonder they had to get rid of Paul? And if you say that, guess who they're going to get rid of? Well, who needs the gas around here? They're going to get rid of you. Where's your heart? God directs your heart towards the love of God, and that's through Paul. Well, we skip a bunch. I've got three verses here that talks about the qualifications or whatever we call those things for a pastor is not to be greedy of filthy lucre. Just wanting something doesn't make you greedy. You know, but that's what this, they're doing this thing for money. You don't make money if you're going to preach Paul. This just isn't going to happen. John, Jesus calls him a hireling. They're just there for the bucks. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So these are the pastors. Who's taking Paul away? Pastors in American pulpits are taking Paul. They've stolen Paul. They've kidnapped Paul from their congregation. 1 Corinthians 4:15. Paul even says, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, 10,000, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." You know what Paul is to us? He's like a father to us. He cares. It's just sad today that most kids don't have a father who cares. They provide, but they don't care. They instruct, but they don't care. We're getting example, example, and example after that. So here's Paul saying the same thing. You guys, you got pastors all over this country that are doing this for the bucks, and they could care less about you, but they'll teach anything you want to learn. Itching ears. I could throw that one in there too. Itching ears fits. Okay, so we got the pastors out there that are kidnapping Paul. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Nothing new here this morning. We know that. We're being reminded of something you already know. Just remember, there's a lot of people out there that have to be reminded that this is what they're doing. They're hanging around these kind of people, and they're going to rob their children of Paul. Now, Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. Now, who do we have here that's robbing Paul? People that are envious of you for getting some victories in your life by following Paul. He says in verse 16, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them." So they don't want you around if you've got some joy and some victory and some change based on Paul's teachings. If you've gone back down towards the world, they'll let you in. If you go up towards Paul, you'll lose them. That's what he says. They'll exclude you. So who's getting rid of Paul? Well, all these deceivers and pastors and stuff. But don't forget, there's people out there that are envious of you because you've grown. You've come somewhere in your life. And they want you back, but they want you back in their terms, not yours. Not Paul's terms. That's a crowd. He says right there in the next verse, and don't let them get you down because it says, "But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. And not only when I'm present with you." In other words, it's okay to come here and have a joy and a zealous because you're going to hear about Paul. Oh, that's such good stuff. But you're supposed to be able to be that way outside of here too. This is what he says. It's okay to be zealously affected in a good thing. It's okay. And I even know some of the guys out there have been told by some of their preaching friends, hey, back off on this Paul stuff. That's just a little bit too zealous. What do you mean I'm too zealous? This is marvelous stuff. I've learned about my salvation. I can read this book. I've got some understanding. I know what's going on out there. I know what's going on in the churches. I know the deceit. I'm learning some stuff. My music, it's all gone. I'm learning this stuff. And you want me to shut up and be quiet about this? No, we're supposed to be zealous about these things. So the folks that don't want us around is because if you're growing and learning something, yeah, they're envious. That's what they're envious of Joseph. They're envious of Jesus. They're envious of Paul. And they're going to be envious of you, and they want to get rid of Paul out of your life somehow. It's amazing. I'm going over that. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. This is one of Paul's prayers. Now, how horrible for you to have your life answered in one of Paul's prayers. Because he says, "In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Well, what if it does? What if you actually start knowing how to say no to something? What if you know and you make a decision, "I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to dress like this. I'm not going to act like this, or whatever. That's what you're supposed to learn. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. If you're going to be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, you know what you're going to be? You're going to be offensive. You don't mean to be. You don't, unless you are on purpose being an idiot about the whole thing. But if you're just being the Christian Paul wants us to be, we will be offensive. And we're not trying. Don't try to be. So we're just seeing here that if you learn, if you grow in judgment, and you're making some decisions that are pleasing to God, those people want to get Paul out of your life. This church down there, that pastor guy, that stuff about Paul, it's changed you. Yeah. It's supposed to. So they want to get those are your thieves too. Thieves that are jealous. Some people take stuff from people's homes or they do damage to their home or whatever just because they're jealous. They don't want that thing, but they'll take it so you can't have it. So they can't change their lives, neither can you. That's a jealous, that's an envious, that's a dangerous person. And I'm sorry to say, but there's a lot of people like that. It's a prideful thing. They don't want to see you doing right. How can you say that? I got a whole bunch of examples of that later. I could tell you some right now, but I just want to get that started up again. I probably could even say, been there, done that. Think you could? I think so. Well, if I can't have that, neither can he. Oh, excuse me, I didn't mean to break this off the, you know, whatever. Okay. Let's go to Jude. Jude. That's a tribulation, but I know it. Who are these people that are kidnapping Paul away from us or from this world? Well, we have a trend going on today. I really don't believe we're in the tribulation. I know we're not in the tribulation because I'm still here. Based on the scriptures, I should not be here if this is the tribulation. But also based on the scriptures, we see some things going on that are like, wow, this is amazing. And so I'll say this. Some of the people that are stealing Paul are heading for the tribulation. And some of them are the teachers and the preachers. Because they're starting to do some of the things that are said in Jude that will be during the tribulation. It's just that we're starting to see them now. For example, Jude, verse 8. Filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. We can already see that already taking place more than ever before. Verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. What is that? Well, let me show you here what that is. Just a fast thing here. The way of Cain was envy. The heir of Balaam was loving money. And the gainsaying of Kor. Against Israel. Fighting against the things of Israel, of Jews, of God's people. So if we did it, which we've done a study, I kind of forgot it, but if we do that study, those three things are taking place today. Which already talks about the Cain and the way of Cain, the heir of Balaam, and the gainsaying of Kor. Kor is in Numbers chapter 8. We studied that about a month ago. Jude verse 12. See, this isn't official yet, but this is what's starting to take place. These are spots in your feasts of charity. Remember, during the tribulation, charity will have to be number one. You'll have to overlook all sorts of stuff and help each other and be there, because if you don't and you hate your brother or cause somebody to stumble, you lose your salvation. So when he says here, These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, they're going to try to destroy those people in the tribulation. Well, it's happening today. You can go out with lunch. You can go have dinner with people. You can fellowship with some people who will actually take you down because they don't want you to hear. They don't want to hear about Paul. They'll actually be bad examples for your children. We're not officially tribulation, but these people already exist, and they're spots in your home. There's spots in your family. It says here they are clouds that are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth. without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. These are the devil's people here. So the tribulation, yeah, it'll be a serious thing. But these folks already exist today. They're working their way in. Look at verse 16. Murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words. Man, just turn on the radio, turn on TV, turn on the midnight televangelist people. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. They like the person. I know folks, some folks listen to an author, they'll read his book, and they'll pay him all the money and support their ministry, etc., and you know they're not King James or they're not Paul for sure. And even if they're King James, I should have said it this, even if they're King James, they're still not putting forth their proper solution, which is Paul, rightly dividing risen Savior. And careful, because we're starting to follow people because of who they are. I'll say it again. I've said it a million times. Let's go to Tri-Cities this weekend, and let's watch Dr. Somebody come and preach. You don't watch somebody preach. He's an artist. They like him because he draws. I liked him because he drew. And I can put those pictures in my mind. I can remember what he preached, sort of, kind of. Until one day I realized I took notes. 4 points. 3 points. 5 points. And this whole great big long sermon. Full of stories. I'm trying to be careful with the story thing. So, people go to that church up there in Missoula because of the guy. They go to the guy in Spokane because of the guy. They go down to Boise because of the guy. This is what's happening more and more and more. How many of you are here because of me? I know better than that. So, it's Paul. It's a rightly divided Bible. I've grown to like the pulpit, by the way. Remember you used to say this pulpit was too big? I've grown to like this thing. I fit it better than I ever have before. So, you're not here. If you're here, you know, if you did come here this morning because of me, it's because you want to find something wrong. So you can go ahead and do it yourself. You don't do that. You're not here because of that. You're not following a person here. But you have before. I'll bet some of you have. You probably missed some of them. But you like this stuff. Well, that's good. Stick with the stuff. Don't worry about the person. But that's what's going on. Come to our church. Oh, you love our pastor. He's such a nice man. Anyway. And then verse 19. These be they who separate themselves sensual. Now, having not the Spirit means they're lost, but they're following feelings. Boy, I'll tell you, that's like everywhere. What do you think they have the music for? Feelings. Why did we, when the end of the sermon is over and you bow your heads and you hear this creak, 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 what's that? That's too positive. that would be nice. What do you hear when your head's down, eyes closed, creak, 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 wee, what? Yeah. The musician's walking up, here comes the invitation time. You know? Or you hear this, quick, quick, zoop. What's that? Somebody's ready to go. What do you mean you're ready to go? And here comes the guilt sermon. This person's about to get saved and you scare him away with a zipper. Or the raincoat or something. I've realized for so many years, this whole thing is just a farce. It's just a game. But they're sensual, so the music, we gotta have the music because you're supposedly up here and then the music, have thine own way. And then before you know it, you're gone. You're up there. And then 50 minutes outside, you're lighting up and you're swearing at the family in the car and you're going off to get drunk the night before. I mean, it's just, you know. You remember the time when Peacock was coming and I said, I know what's going to happen next week. I was jealous. So I'm trying to get you folks to do some stuff, and this guy's going to come, and he's going to just skin you alive, and you're going to come crawling up to this altar, and you're going to just get everything right for a couple days. That's my job. That's how I thought about that. So the sermon before that, I preached that. Remember that? And we were busy. We were up here crying and praying and having a great time and the whole thing. Next week, you guys can hardly sit in the chairs. He was... And we didn't even make it till Wednesday. I said, brother, you got to back off. We're going to bleed to death here. And he got a bad throat. Remember all that? and you couldn't talk to them. Boy, thank you, God. You know, for that kind of a thing. But it's just, that's not, and how long did that last? Do you even remember what you prayed for when he was here? You don't even remember, do you? Boy, it's a good thing you don't have to confess up. You know that? Anyway, I remember what he told me. Take the scope off the gun and shoot with a shotgun. I never did like that advice, but oh well. Okay, anyway. Now look at Jude 4. I have come to realize, we're still talking about these people that are taking away Paul. And it's already happening from the tribulation crowd. But this verse, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Have you grandparents or parents who are older, and I'm not, you know, doesn't this start making more sense? As we get closer to the tribulation, further and further away from Paul and all these things and all the things you're hearing about your friends and families and stuff I hear about my family and things like that, and I'm starting to recognize why during the tribulation, the greatest thing that they'll hear, the fact that their kids are walking right. Why? Because in the tribulation, they will have to walk right. So what better joy can you have than when your children, during the tribulation, are walking such that they can please God and still be saved? Well, doesn't that kind of fits today? We have things going on out in this world. We've got churches everybody's quitting and disgusted with and don't believe the stuff they've had anymore. And they've had Paul taken from them is what they've had. And most of them that I know of never had Paul in the first place. He was already kidnapped. So we can already start to say as parents and grandparents, nothing would make me happier than to see our kids walking right. Not for their salvation, not to be impressive on the outside, but just the fact that they're understanding Paul and they're learning the things about Paul, they're getting understanding of this world, and they're not going to sucker into it. I honestly can't think of anything much more joyful than that. I've learned it long enough to know that I can say that with tears. And someday our kids will be in the same boat. They'll be saying the same thing. I just hope you're not saying it during the tribulation. That'll be tough. Yeah, but at least we'll have the Spirit of God upon our flesh. Read about it. It still isn't going to be easy. It's not going to be that easy. Anyway. So there we got the Jude crowd coming up. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Who else is kidnapping Paul from this world and from Christians? Matthew chapter 6. Oh, wait a minute. How long have we been going? What time is it? I forgot to turn it off from Sunday school. Whew, wow. I thought, man, have I been yakking this long? And you're all sitting there going, oh, you've done it before. Don't be surprised. It's only 11:30. Okay. Right? 11:31 or something like that? It's going. I can't tell you. Matthew chapter 6. Who else is ripping off and kidnapping Paul? Well, the street preachers. The public crowd out there. And I know this is a Matthew verse, but it's an amazing thing that these guys who are preaching the Gospels are missing the warnings within the Gospels. He says, therefore, in verse 2, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. So we read about them last Sunday, that they're doing this for glory, and they're preaching a false message. They got this whole thing backwards. They want these people to repent and quit doing what they're doing and go find God. But we've learned from Paul, they need to find God. And Christ will take care of that sin. And then they can learn to stop sinning. That's the goodness of God they need to learn about. Get this all backwards. They'll preach Genesis, Exodus, Chronicles. What do they preach out of Chronicles? Anybody know? Yeah, the only thing you get out of Chronicles, that huge long list of names, only thing you get out of that book of Chronicles, if my people call themselves by my name, would seek my face, I'll fix everything for them. You know, and they pray and seek my face. That's what they claim. And our kids hear that and they see mom and dad praying and seeking his face. They don't know what that means, but it's not happening and people just quit on God. That's too bad. Let's do another one here. 1 Timothy chapter 3. So we got the street crowd that's out there stealing Paul from everybody. But we got Jason and Kenny's kind of picking up on it. Clarence, he's out there. He street preaches. He's telling people about Paul's teachings. And Brian wants to learn to do that. Some other folks out there. There you go, Stephen. When you get a chance to listen to this thing, tell the Marines about Paul. Just wait till after boot camp. You'll be bragging a whole lot. Just get through boot camp, and then you can tell people about Paul. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to what? I'll go all the way down to verse 9. This is modern Christian right there. Modern Christianity. So we got modern Christians today. You go down to verse 9, I think it is, it talks about the folly. So I got here, we have folks who continue to follow the folly of modern Christianity. And they're ignoring Paul. Verse 9 talks about the folly of it all being made manifest. So with this in mind, turn to Acts chapter 19. If a person is going to follow the folly of modern Christianity, it's going to start being fun. The music is enjoyable to them. It's fun. It's rocky. It gets them going. It pumps their flesh. But here's where we come in who have been part of the folly of modern Christianity. Acts chapter 19, The whole story starts in verse 22, but I want you just to get to the verse where we're going to this thing. Verse 26 and 27 especially. This is the testimony these people had. They got a hold of Paul is they despised their modern God and they destroyed the magnificence of it. We've talked about this before. So those of us that have had our past in this folly of this modern Christianity, do you despise that? I despise it. Again, nothing new this morning. I despise Great Commandment. I despise that stuff. I despise what it's done to my children, that I taught it. I despise what it's done to the people I know about out in the country that I know from the past. I see what it's done to them. I know what it did to me. I despise it. I don't have hardly grace for that stuff. I have to have grace because if they don't know about Paul, you certainly can't whack them for that. But you got to tell them about Paul. And that whole religious stuff, the Lutheran stuff. I mean, I despise these things. I can't just, you know that list we have. We have to pray. We have to have tears. Have to have grace and mercy, long suffering. Sure, we do. But we're also supposed to reprove and rebuke. And I'm into that. The music, I despise. I mean, I tell you, I despise Christian music today more than I ever thought I could. The hymns, I despise probably about half of our hymn book because it's got some slips in there that are wrong. I mean, there's some things that we sing still that, oh, that's wrong. I miss that one. I despise the soft music that people, the quiet time Christian music. We're turning to the wrong thing for our comfort and peace. I despise that. I despise musically. I despise the offbeat. You remember that offbeat? Syncopation? I despise that stuff. I despise it. You have to learn it because it's part of music. But I know what it's doing to people on a regular basis. So hopefully you can learn about it and how to control it. That's why we do that. I just despise this stuff. And the magnificence of it in the churches, and they got the quadruple keyboards and 15,000, or whatever the number will be, ampage or whatever. I don't know how to talk big like that. They got a 4-barrel carburetor up here. How's that? Or an 8-barrel carburetor. Or a gas injection. I don't know. How do you talk big with power? How do you do this? You got a turbo quad powered keyboard up here, and you got to have the thing vented out the side door because all the gas that comes out of that thing, it's just powerful. And I just want to destroy that stuff for people. I want to destroy the books that people can buy in bookstores. I despise those things. I don't even encourage people to get on the website and listen to other sermons. I despise the fact that if you get onto Pal Talk and you can go to the other Christian rooms and you can get caught up following a Paul guy that really is just a hyper-gracer and it can destroy people. So I despise the rest. I despise Pal Talk because I know people have gone off to the other side. Why do you use it? Well, we got people out there that watch us. I hope they can control it. I despise the computer. Here I go. Are you ready? I despise computer games that just waste your whole stinking day, as Jason would say. And it's just brainless stuff, but it's fun. Fine, whatever. We get that way. You just start to despise what everybody's fallen into. I guess that's a bad sign, isn't it, Lewis? I guess It's just that's part of it. And then they just say, well, it's just because you're getting old. No, it's not. How much time do you waste? And it's not real. It's not real. Well, just cancel that. Okay, get back on trail. I got off the trail on that one, something fierce. So anyway. That's just below. Okay. Let's go here to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're just looking at people are kidnapping Paul. Modern Christianity has just kidnapped Paul something fierce. I got some grace in my comments. You might want some nice things to say too. Like, whatever. You wouldn't believe me anyway. I did write some of that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Here we go. Who else has stolen Paul from people? Well, this one's more hurtful, but I'll say it anyway. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. And ye became followers of us. Okay? That's us, hopefully. And of the Lord. Isn't it nice how he puts that in there? That's very important that he puts that in there. We're not following Paul. We're following the Lord. And of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Ghost, yes, we have, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, who's the thief in that set of verses right there? Who has kidnapped Paul by looking at that? We have. Our testimony, our visual testimony, after what we say to somebody, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, every place your faith to Godward was spread. So if we don't have that, then it says, entering in, what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned from idols to the serve the living and true God, from Paul's teachings, when we don't do that, we're actually robbing the people who are watching us from Paul. Notice I said us. I'm not picking anybody here this morning. This is just a fact that if we don't turn away from this, some of this garbage is out in this world that we still follow, whether it be modern Christianity or the love of riches or just, you know, gain whatever it is you want to get rid of. If we don't, we can rob people of Paul. If somebody sees you changing your life and you don't tell them anything about why you're doing this and you don't stick up for what it is and why Paul said what he said, you're robbing the people that are watching you of Paul. Why did you do that? Well, I'm just more comfortable. That's robbing people of Paul. Why don't you go there? Well, I'm just not comfortable there. That's not telling people about Paul's teaching. That's just robbing people of the risen Savior. You see what I'm saying? And we got all these bad people out there, the deceivers and the pastors and all that stuff, not telling people about Paul. We can be just as bad. Why don't you like this kind of music? Why don't you play this kind of music? Well, it hurts my ears. No. Be brave. Be courageous. Don't be offensive and just tell them, well, I just don't believe that music pleases God. It's your car, it's your music, whatever, but this is why I don't play it. And people should know that eventually, that's why. Not just because you just don't want to get into it with them. Be truthful. Don't rob somebody of what the fact that Paul taught you something. Don't rob them of that. Look at Philemon chapter 5. Look at Philemon verse 5. Now, you know that any time I talk about 1 Thessalonians 1, 6 to 10, you know I'm going to Philemon 5. Because that's the other place of a good, effective testimony. He says in verse 5, hearing of thy love and faith. Okay, well, I'm glad that's a testimony there. And remember, it's not a humanistic charity over truth love. It's a love and faith, his faith, not just yours, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. That's good. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, be in such an one as Paul the aged. That was not in my Bible until last night. Is it in yours? It might not be in yours. Paul the aged. Oh, I felt, oh, Paul, we're buddies. we're growing up together here, age-wise. And he says, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also prisoner of Jesus Christ, these folks have followed Paul, they followed his teachings through these years, and their testimony has become effective. And if it's not, we can be Paul robbers as well. And then lastly, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and then we'll be done with this one for this morning. These are people who are robbing Paul. Now that's a hard one, that we would rob Paul from somebody. But we do. And then lastly, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, this is something I've grown to dislike to hear from a Christian. God bless you is one that bothers me now, because I don't know what that means. Another one is, well, I'll come there, or I'll be there, or I'll come to church if it's God's will, or whatever. You ever hear that kind of stuff? You know, or I'll call you on the phone, or I'll visit you, or I'll read this, or I'll do something anyway if it's God's will, if God allows it, or whatever. You know. Well, it didn't happen. Well, God must not have wanted me to be there. Ever heard that? I despise that statement now too. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and here's the verse to tell people, you know, don't blame God because that you didn't make it. Don't blame God that you didn't read your Bible today. Verse 18, Satan hindered us. You know, God didn't stop you from reading this. God didn't stop you from going there, or whatever, if it be a true scriptural thing. I mean, maybe it didn't fit into your schedule in your daytime. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons. But boy, let's quit blaming God when you don't do something that you know God would be pleased with. Just don't blame God. Satan can stop Paul. Satan hindered him from going to see these people. He hindered him. He stopped him. This is Paul. So why couldn't Paul have overcome it? Well, it must be God didn't want him to go there. No. Satan hindered him. I just didn't have time to read my Bible today. Well, God said, God didn't want me to read my Bible today. No, Satan doesn't want you to read that Bible today. I should have witnessed to that person. Well, God didn't want me to because the circumstances didn't work out. What do you mean the circumstances didn't work out? You almost bumped elbows. Yeah, but there was somebody behind him and I didn't want to say anything. No, could it possibly be that Satan just put a little burp of fear in you and you just didn't want to do it? Your flesh says no or whatever? We're supposed to give God glory, everything to God for glory. Yeah, that's true. But is he going to stop you from doing what he wants you to do when you've read what he wants you to do? Of course not. Then we also recognize that Satan himself has transformed what? Into an angel of light. So you're not going to have this vision of some ugly creature with red fork and tail and pitchfork coming out of there, and you keep, no, this is a good, this is a, you know, a good guy can keep you from doing right. I mean, somebody can come by and visit you. They can catch you in a store. They can get you on the phone. I mean, you can take the things with you everywhere you go, and it's a good person. Might be your husband, might be your wife, might be your kids, it might be your friends, it might be your boss, it might be the doctor who loves and cares for you because he needs a new car or something, and they call you at the world's worst time. Here's an example. Wednesday night, we talked about fervency. And we're supposed to have a fervency towards Paul, which is another one of my, I love the conclusion stuff. And I knew that somebody's out there that wants to hear this. We talked about it. I get really encouraged knowing there's somebody that actually wants to hear this stuff and they're responding back. Very encouraging to me, aged that I'm getting to be. And I found out later that just when the sermon started, He got a telephone call from a guy who hates the Paul teaching stuff and talked to him pretty much during the whole sermon thing. Well, okay, now we got two ways to go with this, right? Do you not know how to say, call me later? See what I'm saying? But anyway, I won't bug Jason, that guy, about that. But I'll say, devil knew how to get him away from hearing that message. Well, he can get on the internet later and all this kind of stuff. I said, but you got to realize, Jason, not only do you get to hear this later and you want to hear this, you have no idea what it means to me as a pastor or to our people, knowing that there's people out there listening. It isn't just our little crew here struggling to survive with this weird doctrine from this old man we can't get rid of because he's not hired. He's just here, you know. No, this is being taught lots of different places. Now we know there's a church that's going through about 5 years behind us. He's going to go quicker because we can help him get by this stuff quicker. Devil can stop all that from happening. He can keep you from coming, from reading, all sorts of ways. And he can keep me, even from putting stuff together. Don't have a message for this morning. God didn't give me one. Well, maybe you just played hockey until 4 in the morning or something, you know, and you just didn't come up with anything. So there you are. Those are the kidnappers of Paul. And let's not be a kidnapper ourselves.